The Flagpole Archipelago. Why is it called the Flagpole Archipelago? Well, casual aside, the flagpole, as it's referred by those of us who were enlisted personnel, is where your command unit is. The person who is ultimately in charge of you, because in front of every command, there's a flagpole. Flagpole is where operational commanders are. So what is the Flagpole Archipelago? It is these major commands. Really, if you think about it, it is where the operational end users live. These are, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Space Force. Think of them at the highest level as major commands like 18th Airborne Corps, Air Combat Command, places where they have actually organized soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, Guardians into force structure that are provided to the combatant commands to go fight war. These are where the tip of the spear resides. The important thing to know about how these things are set up is, you know, they're very hierarchical, right? So you can go right down the echelons, right? The layers, the levels of command from the 3 or 4 star general at the top and their subordinate 2 star general, 1 star general, 06, 05, right? It breaks all the way down. And you can look these force structures up, right? They're not hidden. But the important thing to know, particularly in like Army, Marine Corps, the Air Force, they're built with MTOs, right? So military table of equipments. So like if you take an infantry person, right? That person has an actual equipment loadout, right? There is an actual listing of what equipment goes with each individual person in each individual unit at each position, right? Think of your company, think of all the positions in your company. Imagine that your job, whatever job you're doing, comes with a standard set, right? You have a computer, you have a phone, you have 2 monitors, you have a keyboard, a mouse pad, 7 pens, 2 pencils, a notepad, a company-issued coffee mug, stack of CDs, and optionally, if you're senior, you might get speakers, or maybe 1 out of every 5 people gets a speaker, those types of things. And it was detailed in painful, minute detail all the way down to the individual. Well, that is exactly what happens, right? That is how these things are built. And what that means to you is each one of those individual people has a set of technologies that it is their job to use, right? And so there's training that goes with all of that. There's spares and ancillary equipment, and storage, and all kinds of other considerations that go with it. But if you think about who your customer or who your user is, right? Who that very frontline person is, there is a set of tools that person uses right now for their trade. So if you think that an F-35 Joint Strike Fighter pilot is your ultimate customer, right? What is their issue of capability? They have a helmet, they've got jumpsuits, they've got boots and pens and knee boards and you know, gloves, all in pilot flares, all kinds of stuff, right? On top of the actual plane. So if you're trying to bring your new technology in, you really need to think about, you know, A, is it replacing something that's already allocated to them? Makes it, where does it come from? How much does it cost? Where are its capabilities, right? What is the incumbent capability that you're looking to replace? Or if your thing is brand new, never been around before, it's complete category creating a capability, you know, what is that going to do to that person? You know, ultimately, that person has to use that thing, has to carry it into combat, has to implement it, incorporate it into their daily life, right? And what pain is that going to cause that person? What effect is it going to have? How much training do they need? When are they going to train on it? And, you know, if you can really get down to that level and visualize who is going to actually operationally implement your capability, it gives you a much better attenuation to articulating what the requirement is or the capability gap is that you're addressing, right? You can really articulate the value proposition, because when you go up, right, when you go up to the C-ring archipelago, right, you go to the service staffs, right, the chief of staff services that validate requirements, you can say, hey, here's this infantryman. He's got, you know, these normal boots. I have these, you know, jet-powered moon boots. In the future, folks need to be able to march 10 times faster, and my moon boots help that person march 10 times faster. Look, here's an operational threat that that infantry person is dealing with, and my moon boots solve that problem. And it helps that service staff validate that requirement, because you've gone down all the way down to that level. You've identified who that is. You've identified where the force structure is, what the mission set is. And you can articulate that clearly. And what's more important is you can help that operational end user articulate it clearly, because that's probably who's going to have to push it up through the ranks. Important to note, we talked about, you know, the A codes and G codes and N codes, right? G1, G2, G3, G4, G5, G6, 8. A lot of that filters down also. So if you have a general staff command, so like 18th Airborne Corps, general officer in charge of it, 18th Airborne Corps has a G1, G2, G3, G4, G5. G stands, I believe, for general officer, right? Or general staff. So, and if you go further down from that, down to the field grade areas, right? So you go down to like the brigade or company level, or yeah, down to like the brigade or battalion level, they have S staffs. 1, 2, 3. So all these things are hierarchical. So that model that is present at the Pentagon level, general staff, G1, G2, G3, and the functions that they provide at that high level, the national level, at the service level, are satisfied at a lower echelon at those flagpole archipelagos. Well, it's important to know, because that's kind of how information flows up, right? The S3 flows information up to the G3, which flows it up to the service G. That's how these things work. By their standardization across the military, it makes, supposed to make things work a whole lot better. So just a little bit of an insight into how these things are all built, and how kind of knowing that can help you better navigate the bureaucracy and the seemingly opaque world of technology government. If you like what you hear, share, post, repost, thumbs up, rate, re-rate, whatever. Share it with your friends. Save other people the pain and anguish of learning these hard way. All right, cheers.